Welcome to another episode of the Social Media Church. This is a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. And you are listening to episode number 10 with your host, DJ Chuang. And you can connect with us anytime, 24/7, at socialmediachurch.net. And you'll find the buttons to Twitter and Facebook and some YouTube videos, as well as our Google Plus page and show notes, as well as the previous episodes of the Social Media Church podcast, and of course the iTunes link so that you can subscribe on your iOS device, or I also provide RSS feeds for those of you that are on Android and other devices like myself. On this episode, we enter the time machine and go back to 2008 to hear an excerpt from a webinar I hosted with Leadership Network and Todd Rhodes. And the webinar was titled A Closer Look at Internet Campuses. And back in 2008, there was maybe a dozen internet campuses that were up and running, churches that were pioneering a new way to connect with people, spread the gospel, introduce people to Jesus. And on this episode, I've pulled the presentation from Brandon Donaldson, then the internet campus pastor of lifechurch.tv. And they launched their internet campus back in April of 2006. And there's still a lot of learnings that can be had from that, just to hear about how they ventured into this, that they really were in so many ways joining what God was already doing and stumbled into it and then picked up the speed along the way. And at this time, I have tracked down 95 churches that are running internet campuses. So it's still a pioneering effort. And so just to hear how it all started can be really helpful and informative for those of you who are church leaders in a place where you're just beginning to explore, or even if you're up and running, to learn a few more things, because there's just so much to get your hands around, and there isn't a class or a degree where you can just go and learn how everything works. And I've edited this webinar excerpt down so that it could be standalone, and you can really get a good sense of how Life Church started with its internet campus and incorporated into the life of their church. And on that webinar, we also had Brian Vassell of Flamingo Road Church as a presenter. And Flamingo Road Church is now called Potential Church. And Brian has moved on to a new role, but we are still planning to have him as a guest on the Social Media Church podcast on an upcoming episode. Now, let's roll back the clock and hear from Brandon Donaldson and how LifeChurch.tv started their internet campus.
I'm just going to sort of talk a little bit about how we started, what's happened, what's it look like, and just share a story, one of my favorite stories from the internet campus. And hopefully more time will be spent for any questions and answers, which I'm excited about as we go forward. So I think you guys could see all the Q&A there. Well, again, my name is Brandon Donaldson, and I've been with LifeChurch.tv for many years. If you know anything about Life Church, this is the best way, is when we had one campus before it all happened. So I was doing youth here, and we had always talked about the possibilities of how we could use some of these tools. And some might not know, but I think this is really important, is that how we started was at Life Church. As soon as we were able, Bobby Grunewald, our directional leader around innovation, that many of you might be familiar with that name, began to put our webcast out there. And so we did that very early on, and it's always been a free, free to anyone that wanted to stream those. And what happened was, as we did that, we began to get stories in. This was, not facilitated by us. It was just putting those out there. They would find a way to get a hold of us, whether it was our general mail or our general email. And we began to hear stories of, one I remember is a woman who who wrote in and had watched one of the series and began to, you know, found the webcast, began to watch it there in her home. She wasn't tied to a campus at that time. And she wrote in and talked about how she made a decision to follow Christ, and even explained how she, right there in her home, that she knelt down and began to pray. And she said, "You have no idea, you know, what God's been doing in my life and in my marriage." And all this was something that happened completely by the power of God and through this content that honestly we were just putting up there. It was not anything that we were doing on purpose. And so that began the question is, you know, this is happening indirectly. We see that God's moving. What would happen if we did this on purpose? And that is really how the Internet Campus was born, is that we really followed God's lead in that. And one of the things that that we read here, some of you are familiar with a book called Good to Great, an older book now, by Jim Collins, who has spoken at some of our conferences and such. And there's a line in there talking about the whole premise of the book is the difference between these great companies to some of these companies that are good, they're doing a good job. And one of those things was a technology piece, and he explained how technology, whatever it is, not just internet, any kind of technology, that the great companies understood that technology doesn't create momentum, but it can accelerate momentum that's already there. And we realized that we had, you know, a vision that God had given us, and we realized that we saw what was happening at our physical campuses, and we began to see the momentum around that. And so we went in very, very conscious of that and saying, man, we want to use this tool to accelerate momentum that's already going. We don't want to try to do something just because for innovation's sake. And so that's really how the Internet Campus started. That was April 2006 is when we actually first launched, I believe. It's starting to get a ways away now. Our first experience, which was it was actually Easter. And we did our first experience online, and we began to, all of our marketing was internal, and we really had Craig and the leadership behind it in a big way. And so that's sort of how we started. With that in mind, we began to say, okay, what's God doing right now, and how can we sort of translate that? And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time, because in the next one we'll talk about sort of how it runs, but so we created what I clicked the countdown there. We created this is sort of the campus right here. What you're seeing here is sort of the lobby experience. And we began to say, okay, what's happening on our campus? That's all we knew, because we didn't know what does the Internet Campus look like, and how can we translate that with this tool? And what are the things we can and what are the things we can't? And so that's one of the reasons we have our lobby chat that is out here in the lobby. And then as the experience counts down over here, you can see that you can click here, and this is the actual experience window where they see the video experience, they see the notes down here, and this area is a push-pull area where they can interact. One of the important things that happens at Life Church is the interaction and the ability for people to respond to what's going on. And so, and every week we always present the gospel and always have an opportunity for people to respond. And so that was a huge part of what we want to do on the Internet Campus. And so that's why, if you've ever been or not, we can push and pull this content here, and we can actually we have a hand where people can actually respond to any kind of questions that the teacher, that Craig, or anyone that's teaching at lifechurch.tv, they can respond, and they can actually see the response along with it, which has been one of those things that, you know, we weren't real sure how that would work out, and it's been a really cool deal. And I got about a couple more minutes. I wanted to tell sort of a story that happened around some of this Internet Campus. It was actually when I first started, and I think God does this on purpose. But like maybe many of you, we're on the verge of something that I was like, man, God, I want you to be honored in this. And I realized that there's not a whole lot going on with church, nothing like this. And I just want to honor you. I don't, you know, because we were already getting people calling from news and everybody, because this is like, well, Internet Church, can you have Internet Church? Is that possible? And so I believe God's gift to me was a guy named Jason. And this happened at the very first, when we first launched, Jason started coming around. And I had just come out of a Christian apologetics program at Some of you are familiar with that. That's just some learning sort of the foundation of our faith intellectually, and understand how we can sort of be in the public square and just talk out our faith. And so I always wondered, how is that going to be used? Immediately, Jason comes to the campus, begins to ask questions. He begins to attend, and he begins to ask questions in our lobby area, and we begin to just answer. And soon we become pretty close. There's a couple of months of us just talking back and forth. I'm answering, you know, some questions, just telling him, hey, this is sort of, here's some evidence you can look at. Here's some things you can look at. And I realized that he was very sincerely looking. I found out more about him, and he had been looking into all different types of religions. He had a young family, and he just had this pull that there's more. And so it was one of those perfect scenarios that you think that, man, I wish I could have one of those stories. And I just began to pray for this, for Jason, and we actually really became close friends. And it wasn't until 3 months later, and we had just had the message was over. We came into the lobby. Jason was there, and everybody was saying, hey, you've got to go see Jason. And so in that multi-chat tool, he had a room down there. So I jumped in there, turned on the video, and I said, hey, what's going on? He had his video on, and he said, man, I just raised my hand. He goes, I just accepted Christ. And he was just, this intellectual guy I've been talking to for so long, and he was at the verge of tears, and he told me, he said, he lived in Denver, Colorado, and he said, I want to go run out in the street. I sort of laughed, and he goes, do you think that would be appropriate? And I said, man, you can do whatever you want, you know. It goes on. Yeah, he ends up joining an online life group. Me and him are in there with a few other guys, and we did that for about a year and a half. And what's cool about that is that I didn't know what to expect. And we became very close in that online group as we met weekly. And through that story, his wife came the next Easter, which was almost a year later. She was always watching the experience, but on that experience, on Easter 2007, she accepted Christ right there in their home. And we had the same conversation in the lobby chat. And now they've actually found a church there in Colorado. As we've sort of talked through, they have gone there, and our talks changed from all this talk about what do you think to, hey, my son's singing in the kids' choir at church. And we just stopped one day in our online group, and I said, do you realize what you're saying? And we just was like, oh my gosh, just a few months ago, you know, you didn't even know, you know, where you were going to be spiritually or religion. What you felt was true, and now as family, they pray together with their kids, and all this happened. And I think that was God's gift to me to say that, man, any way possible that we can be a part of what God's going to do, we're going to do it.
Excellent. This is Todd Rhodes, and Brandon, thanks so much. We're going to ask a couple of questions here. What is there to consider when you're going, you mentioned the transition you made from kind of a webcast or having things available to an actual internet campus. What are some things for people to consider when they make this step?
Yeah, I think probably the best overarching thing to consider is the ability for the consumer to be a contributor, to be a part of the experience. I think, you know, later we'll talk about that even more on what I think sort of the future of what even an internet campus means. But I think that's probably some of the biggest questions to ask is, what would you like to accomplish for those that are just viewing? A webcast is them just viewing, and you don't get any kind of feedback. What is it that maybe you do as a church or something that's very special to what's going on there, sort of your vision, and how can you sort of accelerate that kind of momentum through an internet campus? I think that would be probably number one, and probably would answer a lot of that question on how you can actually use the tool for all it's worth.
Great. One more question here. What are the demographics? I assume you've probably done some demographic studies on your internet campus audience. What do those look like?
For us, it truly is across the board. I think it's sort of a picture of the internet, in that it's such an easy thing to go to. We have had, we thought it would just be young and sort of the tech or, some of that kind of group that would really filter in first. But with technology now and where it is on the internet, we've had, we have groups of single, 50-plus people. That's a big thing. Military has been a huge, impactful, I guess, audience that we've had continually through the last 2 years, especially with where we're at as a country here in the U.S., with our men over there. So we've had that, their families, those that are shut in, that can't get out. We've seen many of those. I'm sure other internet campus pastors would say the same. And then those that are even those that are just seeking, and it's just such a simple step. They've been invited by a friend, their parents, their family. Those are some great stories that always start with someone that said, you got to check it out, and it's a safe place for them to do. And probably the last one would be just churches. It's a great way for people to find out what's going on at lifechurch.tv. We realize that, and so we have a lot of people that will check it out through the Internet campus, and they'll sort of get to see an experience.
People that are trying to start an Internet campus, what would you give them as kind of a general startup budget, which I know can be all over the place? Mm-hmm. And what are your ongoing expenses after you have all the technology in place? What do those ongoing expenses other than salaries look like?
Okay. I can answer that one. One of the things about efficiency is this campus is definitely the lowest budget out of any campus that we have, and I think it should be. Startup cost, initially we set up the whole, we did live recording, so we have two machines. We've got two machines that are actually doing digital, that are actually switching digitally between like camera and live satellite, things like that. I don't think that's needed anymore. We started off probably about $100,000 to do the whole piece. People ask me this question a lot, and I would tell you that with Mogulus, with Ustream, the things that Brian was talking about earlier, those are all free. So you can actually do something very compelling that outside of salary is, and I'm not just saying it, is practically free. That you could actually start from video to streaming to interaction to engagement with a chat, whatever it is. So I think that's where the 1 year ago is old and new. And so I think if you look into technology, it could be really free. So expenses going on is, one of our biggest expenses is sending out What's Next Kids, sending out overseas or something like that. So that's exciting. I tell them I want that to be, let's spend some money. But that is our biggest expense, maybe, $500 a month. That's one of our biggest expenses outside of salaries.
Excellent.
Yes.
A couple of elephants in the room, though. How do you handle tithing, giving? Do Internet campus attendees tithe the same as your online campus or your on-campus attendees do? And what are your expectations?
No, they don't. Compared to all the people, the numbers that we get, we're going to have a lot lower per head, kind of account, however you do your tithing. We do have people that do tithe, and we do have those that that have said, this is my home, and we teach that. We explain what that's for because it's more about them, just that opportunity and it's growth, But we also have opened up the Internet Campus changes in that we do are trying to look at the things for people that are excited about it. They might have a church home, but they want to be a part. It's like, man, you can contribute. You can donate. It's sort of that online language. That's something different that we've just started understanding that just an opportunity for people to give where they're at and how we're different than a physical campus.
And that's the backstory of how LifeChurch.tv launched its Internet Campus starting in 2006, and 6 years later, it's going on strong as ever. Brandon Donaldson has passed the baton to a new Internet Campus pastor, Alan George, since that time, and I hope to connect with him in a future episode of the Social Media Church podcast. Again, check the show notes, and I'll have a link to the entire webinar. I would love to hear your comments and questions. What has their story inspired in you as you think about how social media can be more incorporated into the life of your church, whether that's online or using online tools to connect people offline? Because Sunday morning for just an hour or two is not enough to really foster a community that we all need to have and to be a part of contributing in the kingdom of God. So drop me a line at socialmediachurch.net, whether you want to use Twitter or Facebook, or better yet, add a comment or call in with a voicemail message. Let me wrap up this episode of the Social Media Church podcast here so that you can return to your drive time or your errand or whatever it is that you're doing while you're listening to this episode. Tune in next week for another episode of the Social Media Church. Again, I am DJ Chuang, and we'll stay connected online.